Testing, 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 1, 2. Am I on? Or is it just my left? Ooh. I'm really on. Let's pray that's prophetic. So, Father, let's just wait on you, Holy Spirit, and see what you have for us this morning. And Father, we thank you for your presence that continues to settle in this room. And God, I pray that as we begin what I feel is your heart for us this morning, God, you will help me to share it in a way that is communicated clearly your heart this morning. So we just call on you, Holy Spirit. Amen. My message this morning is called Reaching the Summit. And what started this whole message was when we were strategizing and trying to figure out Derek and History Makers coming to the prayer weekend, we felt that we should not call it a conference. And I wasn't sure why at the moment, but As we begin to pray into it, I begin to realize there's a difference between the word conference and the word summit. And the church has tons of conferences, and you attend a conference or you go to a conference. And so I looked at the meaning of conference, and it's simply, in its basic form, it's a discussion between two or more people. And it implies a lateral conversation, okay? And we go to a conference, we attend a conference. But summit was totally different. It didn't imply a lateral conversation, but it implied a vertical conversation. It implied the meeting together of governmental leaders to strategize and to release something and to give direction. And I really felt strongly that's what the Stratford Prayer Summit did. We came together as governmental leaders and we heard from God. We climbed up to the summit to hear God and we received downloads. I got feedback from a number of individuals where they got downloads and strategies from God. So the summit is more of a stronger version where we go to meet with someone. We go to meet as heads of state, as government, and something is released. And so that's why we decide to call it the Stratford Prayer Summit. And then that led me to the story of Moses and the children of Israel leaving Egypt. And when you hear the word Egypt, you don't have to answer me publicly, but what comes to mind when you think of the word Egypt? I want you to think about that for a second. Well, there's four words today that I want you to remember that will help you to remember my message. And I'm going to be sharing them one by one, and I'm hopeful. Hopefully, Jim will be tracking with me. But I want to read a passage of Scripture first. And just to give you a preamble before I read the Scripture, it's the story of Moses and leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they have left Egypt. And now Moses is giving counsel to everyone that comes to him, and pretty much day and night. And Jethro, his father-in-law, sees what's going on from a distance. And he realizes that Moses will burn out if he doesn't share the load. And also, I'm sure he was also implying that he might not give wise counsel to everyone. And it's so important to give wise counsel from God's government. Amen? So Jethro goes, and I'm paraphrasing here, he says, Moses, hear the counsel of God. Break down your leaders. Go to your leaders and make them leaders over 10 people, over leaders over 100 people, leaders over 1,000 people. And have the people who have things to work out go to those leaders. And then that will lessen the load for you for the corporate wisdom and the corporate counsel from God for the children of Israel. I think that's wise counsel, don't you? Because no one person has all the answers. And we've come out of a season where it's implied that the senior leader has all the answers and all that. But we're coming into a new season where we need to share the load. And we need to be wise leaders in doing that. So no one, I know we all have our favorite teachers. We all have our favorite people that we follow. But understand that God is divvying up the responsibility. And God speaks to everyone as opposed to just Moses. Of course, he needs to speak to Moses. But God is saying, share the load today. So I'll pick it up in Exodus 19. And I'll just start reading Exodus 19. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And this is very key. It doesn't say that Israel camped before a mountain. It says that he camped before the mountain. That's very key. And I want you to remember that the mountain as opposed to a mountain. So it's very important that Scripture says that. And then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me, above all people, for all the earth is mine. And we need to remember that all the earth is the Lord's. And then verse 6 says, And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. You know, I really enjoy speaking. I just it's one of my sweet spots. But I have to be honest with you, this has been a hard message for me. And often people think when someone shares a message that they have worked through all that's in the message. Well, just being vulnerable and honest, I'm working through some things. And so this message is still being processed in my spirit. Okay? Is that okay? I just want to share what I feel is God's heart through my heart. And I don't have it all together, and I'm reminded this morning very much I don't have it all together. But I do want to share what I believe is the mind of the Lord. So if that's okay with you, realizing that I'm still working through some things in this message, is that okay? I'm glad you're nodding this way and not that way. So going back to the word Egypt. Egypt to me speaks very much regarding our pre-Christian days. And it's what I believe it's during Egypt where God begins to reveal himself to us. He begins to work through experiences that we've gone through. And we can all look back, and if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior into your heart and are endeavoring to live His life through you, I believe you can relate to those times where God has made Himself aware to you. We all have them. And relating it to Moses, Moses first became self-aware. He became self-aware in that he began to realize that he wasn't an Egyptian. He began to realize that maybe he was one of those Hebrew slaves that were working so hard for the Egyptians. And so Moses became self-aware, and God began to come closer to Moses and begin to share some things. And sometimes we take things into our own hands and we share the government of God through us in situations. And here we have an example where Moses, remember the story where he killed that Egyptian? And then he buried him, or he hid him somewhere. And then shortly after that, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. And he tried to sort that out, and they threw it back at him. "We know what you did, Moses. We know what you did. You killed that Egyptian." That's a case of taking things into our own hands as we become self-aware. And we can all go back over our life where we have tried to take things into our own hands. I will always remember at the age of around 7, I grew up, we had two farms side by side. And this one Sunday afternoon, my brother and sister decided they were going to walk over to the other farm. And we had a large orchard over there. And they were going to pick some apples or pears. And I was playing in the yard, and I saw them go. And I continued to play. And then later on, I decided I was going to go over to the other farm and pick some apples with my brother and sister. And so the farm was maybe two, three miles. We had two large farms. And you had to walk through some back lanes, through some small bush, to get to the other farm. And you may wonder, what mother would allow a 7-year-old to walk by himself 2-3 miles to the other farm? We have to understand, there were 10 in our family, and I don't think Mom even noticed that I was gone until later. I'm sure one of my other older brothers or older sister said, Where's Mac? At that time, they called me Malcolm, because that's my real name. And later on, I was only ever called Malcolm when I was in trouble. But anyways, I go over to the other farm, and I can hear voices. And you have to understand, this is a 7-year-old interpreting some things here. So I'm over at the other farm, and I hear voices in the orchard, and I try and find where my brother and sister are. I never did find them. And suddenly, I find myself in this outside the orchard, near the driving shed, out in the open in the yard, and a storm came up. And it became very dark, and there was thunder and lightning, and the rain started coming down. And I'm in the middle of the yard, and I'm just froze. I'm, you know, the 7-year-old boy, I am froze and terrified, and just not knowing what to do because I was so terrified, and it was now dark. And then, as a 7-year-old, the only way I can explain it is, up here, I hear this voice saying, "It's okay, they'll be coming to get you soon." Well, I was more terrified of hearing a voice coming out of the sky than I was of the storm. And I didn't understand, and I didn't comprehend. And sure enough, maybe 5 minutes later, a car comes flying into our yard, and two of my older brothers come out, and they were pretty ticked. And all they did was just grab me and throw me in the back of the car and said some choice words to me. But that didn't even bother me. It's like I really couldn't hear what they were saying and yelling at me. In fact, they weren't even old enough to drive the car, but in those days, you just did some things, right? I think they were like 14 and 15. But I wasn't even upset about what they did. I was still terrified about hearing that voice. And from that day forward, I always had a sense of God watching me from a distance. And there was different experiences. Well, that's an example of God during my Egypt time making himself aware, helping me to become God aware. Because, you know, if God would have revealed himself totally to me, I likely would have exploded. But God did it in stages, and that's what he does to us. Because when the spiritual meets the natural, something has to give. I mean, I was terrified enough hearing that voice. But as the years went by, God made himself more and more aware to me. So I became not only self-aware, but I started becoming God-aware. And that's how it was with Moses in that time of Egypt. So now, fast forward, and for the sake of time, I don't have time to go into the whole journey of Moses. Fast forward to now Moses leaving Egypt. And there's all this excitement. And they're happy and excited that the Egyptians have let them go. And so they're leaving Egypt. In fact, they get a whole bunch of gold thrown in from the Egyptians. And they're all excited. And then they come to this place called Rephidim. When I first saw that word, it reminded me almost like a painkiller. Rephidim. And actually, when you understand what it means, you almost can interpret that. Because it means a place of rest, a place of peace, a place of waiting, a place of sometimes covering up what's going to happen. And sometimes painkillers do that, don't they? They don't really deal with the issue. They just mask it. So, do you understand what painkillers? It doesn't really deal with some things, but it does cover up some things. And so, Moses leads Israel to this place called Rephidim. And then, they continue on into Sinai, into the wilderness. And Sinai just very simply means place of sin or place of thorns. And it's in this wilderness that the Israelites begin to grumble and complain. It's in this Sinai, in this wilderness, that they begin to complain, and the food source dries up. They become thirsty, and they complain to Moses, why have you brought us out into this wilderness when all these things are happening? And so Moses goes to God and says, you need to help me out here because they're at the place where they're going to stone me. Okay? And no, you're not at the place where you're about to stone me. I don't feel that at all. I'm getting to something here. So, you know, Moses hits the rock thing and water comes and then the whole manna comes and all that stuff. And it's just backing up a bit, it's at Rephidim where it's like when we come to the Lord, all our prayers get answered, right? It's like a honeymoon experience. It's like we pray and things happen. It was the Israelites' first battle against the dreaded Amalekites where they completely beat the Amalekites. And they felt powerful. They felt, wow, God is with us. He's not with anybody else. And it's kind of like us in that time where I remember that where you pray and things just happen. And everybody is happy and there's excitement as you're marching on this new journey. And then God says, I need you to go through some wilderness things. I need you to go through some wilderness experiences. And you know, how long were the Israelites in the wilderness? 40 years. And do you realize that that wilderness was not that large? It wasn't like Canada. I'm not sure how large this wilderness area was. Some say 150 kilometers. That's not very much to be meandering around for 40 years. Think about that. It's crazy when you think that they were going through the wilderness for 40 years in this same piece of land. And I'm sure that they would come to and say, I think I've seen this rock before. And I'm sure I saw that same palm tree. But they went around and around for 40 years. And you know, I see such an example of the church going around and meandering for 40 years. And God is saying, yeah, I want you to go through some things, but I want you to go through your wilderness and out the other side. Amen. And it's in our wilderness that some things come up. And there's a word I want to share with you. It's a word, trigger. And no, that's not the name of Roy Rogers' horse that I'm talking about, and I'm dating myself here. But a trigger is a reaction when someone says something or does something. A trigger is a reaction to situation and life's experiences. Does everybody have triggers? Yes. Does Matt Crummer have triggers? Absolutely. And you should be doing this. We all have them. But from God's angle, when he sees these things come to the surface, and the only thing that will resolve or diffuse our triggers is when we're honest and we expose them to the light. That will help to diffuse them. And it's not so much that we have triggers, it's that those triggers are diffused and they become less and less and less. And some of those triggers, they may take a long time. Some of them are gone as we expose them to the light. Each situation and each person is unique, but they're still there. And God is saying, when you're in the wilderness, I want you to release the triggers that are in your life, because I have something greater for you. I have something greater for you to do, greater destiny. And you, so much of the time, the church has wanted to stay back at Rephidim. They've wanted to stay in that place of rest, in that place of peace, and in that waiting. And they've wanted just to be a victim. And when God is saying, move beyond that victim mentality and move into a victor mentality, because the world is out there and I want to work through you to be examples of victors to the world. So it's in our wilderness that we cry out to the Lord. And God wants us to be honest. He wants us to, I've always said God is pretty secure. And he wants us to be honest with him. He wants us to share things. He wants us, even in our grumbling, as long as we don't stay in our grumbling, he's fine with that. But it's where the children of Israel said, where's God in this situation? Has God forsaken us? And they begin to throw out a lot of things. And God is saying, if you will deal with some things. I will take you through your wilderness and you will come to my mountain. And it's at my mountain where I will speak to you in a governmental way. It's at my mountain. It's when you climb my mountain, the mountain of God, and you come to the top, you come to the summit, I will speak to you in a governmental way. I will release things to you. I will release authority. I will give you authority for your situation, and you will be the victor and not the victim. And God is saying to Moses, come on up to the mountain, and I will share with you. And at that time, God says, don't bring the children of Israel to climb because they're not ready yet. In fact, they might die. But God is wanting us to be just like Moses. I believe he's saying this morning, I want every one of us to be like a Moses. To be able to come through a lot of things so that we can climb to his mountain so that God can share some things with us. I remember the first time where God spoke to me, and it was different. It wasn't as a child. It was as more of a teenager. And it was this time where I got a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning. How many know getting a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning is never a good thing? Okay? And my brother-in-law phoned and said, Mac, your brother Bob was killed. He was killed by a pickup truck as he was crossing the road at night. And then he hung up. And I sat there on the side of the bed. And God began to speak to me. And he began to speak to me in a different way. It was more, not as a peer level, and I don't even have the words to share exactly, but it was more of, come up to the mountain, and I want to share some things with you. And he shared some downloads, because when I got that phone call, you know, I could have gone into a victim mentality. I could have done all kinds of things. But the way God began to speak to me, I knew he was speaking to me in a different way. He was speaking to me in a way that he trusted me. That he understood, yes, what the feelings that I was going through. But I didn't relapse into a victim mentality where I said, God, you know my brother was an alcoholic. You know he was drunk when he crossed the road, blah, blah, blah. And that truck didn't stay at the scene. Kept on going, and they found my brother sometime the next day in the ditch. Yes, that was upsetting. But it was the way in which God spoke to me. It was in a respectful way. It was in an honoring way. But it was in a way of authority that he was sharing some downloads. And I began to realize, and it actually really helped me to work through some things in my wilderness and not stay there. Because God never, ever wants us to stay in our wilderness. But we have a choice, don't we? And God never wants us to keep going around the same mountain. And it's certainly not his mountain. But God is calling us to something higher. It's important that we not delay some things. It's important that we own some things. We feel some things. But it's important that we get beyond so that we can climb to the mountain, to the summit, to hear God speak to us in a different way. And isn't that what we want? I believe more than ever in this season, God is saying, I need you to speak in a different way to the world. I need you to lead and be an example and not complain that, oh, it's getting so dark out there. And everyone is not, you know, not following the Lord and all that. That may be true, but God is saying to you and I want you to provide the answer. I want to give you authority. I want you to release strategy that you can have the answer. And it's not that we have the answer, but we have God's answer through us. Do you understand that? It's time that we understand that we have a higher calling than just our own life. And I am sensing such an urgency that we climb the summit, that we reach the summit, so that God can release some things to us and that we can grow up, that we can come into a further maturity, because God is waiting for us up at the mountain. Amen. He's waiting there and he's wanting to give us the answers for our triggers. He's wanting to give us solutions and strategy. And I think it's a sad thing that we could live our whole life and not climb the summit to hear what God is saying to us. If God could be sad, I think that could make God sad. To not, because he's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to climb the summit. And he's waiting to open up his portal of light to share on our darkness. You know, it doesn't take much light to expose the darkness. It doesn't take much light to diffuse the darkness. It doesn't take much light to resolve some things in our life. Like, we don't have to have it all together. You know, I came over last night, and I like to come over some evenings, and I'll just walk around. I'll just walk around and just allow the presence and the sense of God to settle in. Like I feel it this morning. And I don't know who it was, but someone had left the light on in the back. And that light was lighting up the screen. And you know what it's like when you come into a room and you can't see anything because your eyes are adjusting? And then after a while, they begin to adjust. And you see some things in the darkness that you didn't see the first time. Well, I felt strongly from God not to put the lights on. So I'm walking around. I'm walking up and down and I'm just praying. And just sensing the presence of God stronger, thicker, settling. And then I realized I could see everything in the room. There were no lights on. Only light was on behind that screen, and that screen was reflecting some light. But suddenly, this room seemed like it had all kinds of lights. It had one light, but that light was beginning to diffuse the darkness. And I felt God saying, I want to release my light through some portals. And it doesn't mean that I have to share with you the whole light of heaven. Because I think, again, if God did that, we likely would explode. But God's a good father. And he shares enough light that we need. Amen. He shares enough light that we need to diffuse the darkness in our life. And I begin to walk around and thanking God for his light. Thanking God that in my wilderness experiences, that if I allow God to expose. And if I will allow God to release some of his light into my situation, that situation will come to a peace in. That situation that you have gone through or are going through and will go through, God's promise to you is my light is sufficient for your situation. Do we believe that? My light is sufficient for your situation. My light is sufficient for whatever circumstance you are in right now. Because through that, through your response, I want to speak to you from my mountain. I want to speak to you from the summit. But you need to climb through some things. You need to climb up. You need to climb past. You need to climb to the mountain, to the summit, so that I can share some things that maybe you weren't ready for me to share with back here. But now you're ready to receive some things that I want to share with you. And I believe the church, and I'll say the church, and us individually, I believe we are at the place where God is ready to share some things with us. We are at the place at the foot of the mountain where God is going to be sharing some things with us that will bring solutions to society, to our life, to our family. And God is saying, are you ready? Are you ready to hear? Are you ready to receive some light? Because if you do, you'll see a whole lot more in that situation than you saw before. You'll see a whole lot more things. You will see things at a different angle. You will see potential that you never saw before. I remember when I was in sales and marketing, and I was asked to open up the whole Stratford territory for the company. And I remember hearing a manager say, the way that you go into a place or a city, I want you to go to that city from a different angle. Instead of coming in maybe from the north, come in from the south. If you've come in from the east, come in from the west. And if you do that, you will see opportunities. You will see businesses that you never saw before. And I always remembered that. So I took that bit of advice when I began to open up the territory for office products in Stratford. And I was in Stratford a long time. I knew Stratford. But I found businesses that I never knew existed before that I could call on. And that's what God is saying to us today. That if you will go through some things from a different angle, if you will see things from my angle, from God's angle, I will show you things that you never saw before for your situation. I will show you things that will help you in your situation. And I think that's a great thing. And that's why we can trust God. And that's why we can open up to God. And God wants us to know that he has our back. He wants us to know that in our sin, and yes, God will expose things in our life, but in our situation, God wants us to know, I will walk with you through those wilderness experiences because I see a greater goal and a greater end result. And that's when you climb your mountain and you climb to the summit. And that's where you will hear things that you never heard before. So these four words, Egypt, Rephidim, wilderness, and summit. If you will write down these four words that will help you to realize where you are at with God, I believe that He will take you through some things, and He will allow you to receive grace for those situations. But it's we can't take things into our own hands. And there are things that God cannot share with us yet. You know, when Moses went through, he saw the burning bush, you know the story? And he heard the voice out of the burning bush. He said, "Moses, come near, see some things." Well, Moses, even at that point, was not yet ready governmentally to receive some things, because God said, take your sandals off, Moses. This is holy ground. Moses didn't, from my understanding, he didn't even realize the issue of holiness, the holiness of God. And God had to say, take your sandals off, Moses, because you're on holy ground. That's what we need to have with God. We all like the burning bush experiences. We all like the great things that happen in our life, don't we? We enjoy all those things. But sometimes we miss the holiness of God and why He gives us those experiences. And it's so that He can release some things governmentally to us. It's so that we can govern ourselves well. It's so that we can govern our life well and be an example to the world. To be an example to our wife, to be an example to our husband, to be an example to our family, to be an example to our cities, to be an example to our nation, to be an example to everyone around us. But God is saying, when I come close to you, you're standing on holy ground. And those experiences that we like to post and that we like to share, and they are great experiences, but sometimes we use them like notches in our belt. And it almost makes us feel spiritual to people. And God is saying, yes, but you need to realize some things. I will not share my glory with you until you have an understanding of who I am. Until you have an understanding and you're able to govern yourselves well. And do we ever arrive? No. No. But we certainly don't want to be at this place 5 years down the road. God is saying, keep moving. Keep moving. And I will share some things. Because it's God's desire to share some His glory with us. It's God's desire to share governmentally with us. It speaks of maturity. Okay? And God doesn't release that lightly. So, again, I want you to realize, I'm not through this. And in fact, I struggled greatly even sharing this morning. Because I'm still in some areas that are wilderness to me. But I know enough of my Heavenly Father that I can trust Him. And He loves me regardless that I keep going around the mountain in some areas. I've been on the journey long enough that I trust God enough to work through some things. And I wish I could tell you that I'm through some things, but I'm not. As a senior leader, I've had to grow into a lot of things. And a lot of things have just been strictly by obedience. I'm not feeling it. Just being honest with you guys. Not feeling it. I want to play it safe. I want to plant my garden. But sometimes God releases something and he steps back. And it's by sheer obedience that we pick some things up. So this morning, I hope it wasn't too much of a heavy, but I sense an urgency in these days for the church to really begin to leave our refidim, leave our waiting space, leave our place of rest, and our place of protection, and our place of peace to move out. So, bottom line, back to conference versus summit. God is saying, I don't want you to just come and attend a conference. But I want my church to come and climb and reach the summit. Because it's at the summit where God begins to speak to us in a different way. So it's all these experiences that we go through, they're not for naught. Is that the right? They're for a reason. They're for a purpose. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for even our Egypt. Father, thank you that it's in our Egypt period that you begin to come close to us. You begin to reveal your nature to us. You begin to come to us and show us things in our time of Egypt. And you allow those situations, Father, to bring us to you, to not only make us self-aware, but to make us God-aware. And then, God, you meet us. And yes, we have our honeymoon experience, our time with you, God, where it's a fun time, it's an easy time, it's a time of excitement in Jesus. It's a time, God, where we begin to, for the first time, be accepted by someone. But because you love us, Father, so much, you start to take us through some things. You begin to take us through our wilderness. You begin to expose things, Father. Things come to the surface. So God, help us to grasp why you do this. Help us to understand, Father, that it's not because you're mean. But Father, it's because you love us and you have a greater purpose for us. And you've called us out of Egypt for a reason. You've called us out of Egypt for a purpose. Not to be comfortable. Father, you've called us to be pioneers, to travel, Father, on this journey. And Father, you've moved us in this wilderness, and Lord, help us to realize that this wilderness does not have to be a large time period in our life. But God, help us to respond, God. Help us to respond to your understanding and revealing in those experiences, Father, those wilderness experiences. Because God, you're calling us to your mountain. So, Father, I say on behalf of myself and City Gate, God, help us to not just come and attend a conference, Father, but God, help us to come and climb the summit, the mountain, your mountain, God. Help us to climb to the top so that we can hear you speak to us in a greater way of authority and a greater governmental way. Father, help us to govern ourselves wisely, Father. Let's just wait a minute here. Father, I believe you're calling us, and I believe you're saying that if you will allow me to diffuse some things in your life, people will not even recognize us in 6 months, in 1 year, maybe even in 1 week. God, your word says, can a nation be changed in a day? And Father, I believe, even making that more personal, Father, can Matt Crummer be changed in a day? Can, and put your name there, be changed in a day? And I believe I hear God saying, yes, you can. Yes, you can. But it's not by your strength. So be at peace. It's not by your strength to figure out your particular situation. It's not by your strength that you have to resolve some things. But God is saying, I'm going to partner with you. If you allow me, says God, people will not even recognize you. But they will recognize my touch, my presence, my hand on your life. If you want that, I want you to say amen with me. Amen. Amen, Father. Let it be, Father. So be it. Amen. So Egypt, Rephidim, Sinai, Summit. You know, there's nothing more sad than to see an adult acting in a childish way. And we've all seen it. I have done it. And God is saying, I don't want you to lose your childlikeness, but I just want you to lose how you respond to me in situations. Because I have so much for you. So Father, would you seal this word? Holy Spirit, would you seal what has been shared? And Holy Spirit, would you get rid of things that are not of you, Father? Lord, we don't want to be taking on things, God, that are not of you. Amen. So we have a ministry team, I believe. And if you would like someone to pray with you regarding what I have shared, or even some other things you're wrestling with, then come on up. And have the ministry team pray with you. Because God is saying, I want your wilderness to be shorter and shorter and shorter in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.